exciting and stimulating talk.
Stimulating talk.
Nigeria Infotainment number one for talk.
Number one for talk.
Let's talk.
Details.
The stories.
The updates.
The number one station for talk. Brings it all.
Nigeria politics is more strategic. Even look at the presidential level, you see almost the change almost playing out. So it's a game of numbers and popularity.
Even of course, to help our brothers and sisters to rise up and contest.
We'll bring that out to you.
Conversation.
You will host on the reality. Two conversations. Trustworthy ideas. Shared passionately on your number one talk station of the nation. Nigeria Info 95.1
Abuja. Let's talk.
Yeah.
on your number one talk station.
You get a daily dose of news trends.
Crisis averted in aviation sector after agreed unions suspend strike.
Intense conversation.
She's among the ICTC board members.
Oh. What has she experienced like in 2 years with a doctor?
She said because she has levels.
Sports and news to keep you updated all day and every day.
Join the conversation on your number one talk station.
95.1 Nigeria Info.
Nigeria Info.
Let's talk.
Did you know?
The Great Depression. The Great Depression, 1929 to 39, was the deepest and longest lasting economic downturn in the history of the Western industrialized world. In the United States, the Great Depression began soon after the stock market crash of October 1929, which sent Wall Street into a panic and wiped out millions of investors. Over the next several years, consumer spending and investment dropped, causing steep declines in industrial output and rising levels of unemployment as failing companies laid off workers. Though the relief and reform measures put into place by President Franklin D. Roosevelt helped lessen the worst effects of the Great Depression in the 1930s, the economy would not fully turn around until 1939, when the Second World War kicked American industry into high gear. The American economy entered an ordinary recession during the summer of 1929 as consumer spending dropped and unsold goods began to pile up, slowing production. At the same time, stock prices continued to rise, and by the fall of that year, had reached levels that could not be justified by anticipated future earnings. On October 24, 1929, the stock market bubble finally burst as investors began dumping shares en masse. A record of 12.9 million shares were traded that day, known as Black Thursday. 5 days later, on Black Tuesday, some 16 million shares were traded after another wave of panic swept Wall Street. Millions of shares ended up worthless, and those investors who had bought stocks on margin, that is, with borrowed money, were wiped out completely. As consumer confidence vanished in the wake of stock market crash, the downturn in spending and investment led factories and other businesses to slow down production and construction and began firing their workers. Among the programs and institutions of the New Deal that aided in recovery from the Great Depression were the Tennessee Valley Authority, TVA, which built dams and hydroelectric projects to control flooding and provide electric power to the impoverished Tennessee Valley region of the South, and the Works Project Administration, WPA, a permanent jobs program that employed 8.5 million people from 1935 to 1943. After showing early signs of recovery beginning in the spring of 1933, the economy continued to improve throughout the next 3 years, during which real GDP, adjusted for inflation, grew at an average of 9% per year. A sharp recession hit in 1937, caused in part by the Federal Reserve's decision to increase its requirements for money in reserve. Though the economy began improving again in 1938, this second severe contraction reversed many of the gains in production and employment and prolonged the effects of the Great Depression through the end of the decade. When the Great Depression began, the United States was the only industrialized country in the world without some form of unemployment insurance or social security. In 1935, Congress passed the Social Security Act, which for the first time provided Americans with unemployment benefits, disability, and pensions for old age.
Did you know?
Can I have your attention, please?
The news, information, and the right conversation are here on Nigeria Info.
How many of this type of wicked attacks have affected in the other part of this country? So that's what this is our effect.
I'm not supporting stealing, but these politicians need to be taught a lesson.
Your number one station for talk, Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
This is Hard Facts.
This is Hard Facts.
On 95.1 Nigeria Info.
trending.
Who are dropping on their vehicle, who are running, this is their vehicle.
A place where you can air your views.
I want to report your destruction.
On your number one station for talk.
This is not the way. We cannot continue.
95.1 Nigeria Info. Abuja. Let's talk.
Thank you so much for staying with 95.1 Nigeria Info. It's 11 minutes after 3. I hope that you're having a fantastic Monday. I know one person that is so in love with Monday is sitting right next to me, but I don't know about you. I don't know about the interns in the studio. Hi, introduce yourself. Your name? Okay. You love Monday?
No.
Why?
What's your favorite day in the week?
What's your favorite day in the week? You know,
probably Wednesday. I'm more used to Mondays.
Really?
I school in the East.
Like so Adam's Mondays family Wednesday?
Probably.
I haven't seen Adam's family.
Mondays, I sit at home in the East, so I'm more used to Mondays.
Oh, you school in the East?
Yes.
Oh, I can understand. You're not programmed not to do anything on Monday.
I'm more used to Mondays.
Yeah. You see what's happening to her? Nigeria is happening to her.
No kidding.
Now, she doesn't like Monday just because of the heat at home, where she's from, and all of that. So, coming here on a Monday feels odd to you now.
Yes, very odd. No, just wait.
You have to get used to it.
I have to do something. I'm not in the East anymore, so I actually have to make something of myself on a Monday.
Mm.
Wow. Okay, this is interesting. How about you?
My name is Eniola.
Eniola.
I like Monday.
You do like Monday.
Jesus. Because Monday, my, like, Yoruba, they say the day of morning. So...
Morning as in good morning or morning sub sub?
Morning.
Oh,
money.
Money Monday.
Nice.
Okay. So one person doesn't like Monday because she's been forced to sit at home all through Monday for months and years. Monday feels like a day off.
Mm.
And the other person just because of money. So if you go back home and there's no money on that Monday. All right, ladies, thank you very much for sharing with us. Well, he told him most definitely likes Monday. I've never asked him the reason why he just loves Monday.
It's an easy day for me, and it moves by really quickly. Before you know it, it's midnight. Monday is done. You're on to the next day, Tuesday. So that's the reason for me.
I don't think I have any particular reason. I've not just had a reason not to like Monday. Mm. Monday has not offended me in any way. Not to be a cool.
Right, Monday's a chill day.
Yeah,
a lot of people are freaked out by it, but
cool.
It's just cool. It's there.
I even know people who go by the name Monday. They are super cool people. I only know like two or three of them. They're just easy going people and all of that. Mm. But you know what? Monday's right.
Monday's. If you don't like Monday, well, I'm sending you hugs right now. You'll be good.
Yeah.
And happy Monday to you.
Which is them. Thank you for joining us this marvelous Monday for the Monday edition of Hard Facts. And our guest was meant to be here with us, but as we speak, I'm sure he's battling with his car on the express. We're so sorry, sir. Mm. I know you were headed here, but you know, cars don't give warning. It happened to me once. I was driving on a Saturday, you know, makeup free, my hair just...
Lucky you.
In the state that it should be when I'm by myself, I'm not hoping to see people.
Yeah.
And then my car decided it was just going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that. No warning, no sign. It slowed down and it stopped. I thought it was one of those random and tried. Nothing.
Mm.
And I felt really miserable. It was a Saturday evening. It was towards 6-ish.
The thing is, when a car breaks down, I'm not worried because it might be stopping you from something terrible happening.
Right.
Yes, I don't freak out. I just, okay, this is a warning or it's a holdback or whatever it is. But then it's frustrating still, especially when you have something to do and you don't have any backups or anybody who can come to your rescue in good time. And the mechanic is hours away from you. You have to wait and be patient enough for them to come rescue you. That's only the annoying part of it. But then just, you know, wait, be patient, and thankful that it wasn't worse than,
yeah,
you know, what it was.
So, our guest is having car trouble on the express. I won't tell you what part of the express, but Mr. Chuksuhebe was meant to join us. So sorry about that, sir. He's agreed to be here tomorrow since he couldn't make it today. I hope that we resolve the issues quickly. So it means that it's just going to be us with you. And the I don't like Monday, and I like Monday, and I like Monday, and I like Monday.
More Mondays that you can handle.
More Mondays. All the Monday lovers, we're going to be here with you till 7 p.m. on Hard Facts. It'll be a great show nonetheless. We're going to have an amazing conversation. So please start with us from now to the end of the show. My name is Kimberly Nwachukwu. Call me Kim, the Oracle, the Digital Oracle, OTF, Madam Speaker, the Fellow, Ochanyawa of Nigeria in front of yes, the what
I just remembered something from last week. I kept being harassed about my title.
Okay.
So I had to have like a mental reminder to always say it when I come up. My name is Itodo. You could call me the Deacon or Agaba Ido and all the titles that I have been giving.
I know, no, Baba Chelsea took it so personal. People started appealing and sending him messages and are begging us to please go by that name. Yeah. It was that serious.
But it's a chill name. It's a chill title.
Yeah, so chill. I mean, perfectly. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go through some of the big stories driving conversation. And I'm sure if you don't live under the rock, you already know that the Election Petition Tribunal judges have decided, you know what? We are not going to allow for the live broadcast.
Yes, the Presidential Election Petition Court has dismissed the application by the People's Democratic Party and its presidential candidate, Atiku Abubakar, to allow for a live broadcast of the court proceedings. The five-man panel led by Justice Haruna Tsmani dismissed the request, which was made by the aggrieved parties and candidates of the People's Democratic Party and the Labour Party, as lacking in merit and rejected it. Now, the court held that allowing cameras in the courtroom is a major judicial policy that must be supported by law. However, according to the ruling, no regulatory framework or policy direction permitted it to grant the application. Now, furthermore, the court held that the request was not part of any relief sought by the petitioners and had no bearing on it. It said that the request for a live broadcast would not add to the determination of the petition, adding that petitioners failed to establish how the live broadcast of the proceedings would advance their case. And a lot of people were looking forward to this. I mean, on Friday, there was a report about cell phones not being allowed in court from today. That's at the PC and Tribunal. And people were sort of worried by that, asking what the courts have to hide. But right now, they're given a breakdown as to the reason why they don't want a live broadcast. Even the people, a lot were hoping to be able to learn the law and understand some of these languages and words being used. And of course, they mentioned that they were not able to give a reason why they want it to be broadcast live.
Like nothing tangible that will add to the case.
But
beyond the fact that Nigerians just want to be carried along and want to see that the process is, you know, to their own judgment, transparent.
But wouldn't you say that being able to build trust in the judiciary is enough reason for it to broadcast live? I mean, that should be able to motivate them to ensure that the process is free and fair, and Nigerians can be a part of it, because in the end, all of this is being done for the good of the common man. And to also prove that your vote,
I think it would have added something if Nigerians were carried along. But I also agree with some people that perhaps the language might be technical, such that it will be also open to multiple interpretation from people who believe they understand the legal language being used. Because it's not going to be just your everyday conversations and all of that. There are going to definitely be technicalities that would call for interpretation. And we know in this time and age where everybody feels like they know, there will be all kinds of interpretation. So you would still need to call people. Okay, we follow that. What does it really mean and all of that? So it's a path will not be as easy. Maybe if it's the final judgment. I know we're quick to say Kweremadu's case, we followed it. You didn't follow it from start to finish. You only followed the final judgment that was given by the judge and the reason why they arrived at it. But all the while he was going to court, it was fillers who were getting formed reports that was making the rounds and at the end of today. So if people were carried along all the while, I'm sure they will still be that, no, we don't agree. You'll be confusing it with your own law and the likes of it. Well, no, but it really would have been great. We could do something different, given the fact that people are emotionally tied to the 2023 election that just wrapped up. I know, yes, you say we've had other elections, they've not been perfect and stuff like that. But this one, given the zeal, the commitment, enthusiasm of a lot of young people, and the fact that we had that hiccup with IREV uploading the report, we also had that ethnic dimension in terms of how people were profiled and denied, you know, getting there. There was a lot of dimensions to this election that is different from the previous elections, and given the fact that a lot of people were invested in it, it'd be nice to see to the end, at least a bit of you know, something that people can just follow along and say, all right, now we can cure behind this man. He's the person, or good thing, let's give it to this other person at the end of the day.
Now, a lot of stakeholders have, you know, stated the need to broadcast this live. And how would they be able to hold back those who come into the courtroom with their cell phones? Because from there, you see short clips every now and again, what was being said, what was acted out. And that in turn gives a bit of insight as to the proceedings going on, even though it's not live. Some people actually go as far as going live for a few minutes or a few hours until they maybe get discovered and they are either asked to stop or they are escorted out. So how would they be able to hold that from happening? Are they going to search everyone or demand everyone submit their phones? Or, I mean, it's that should be a concern right now, seeing that you're trying to prevent a live broadcast from happening from the courts. It's 2023. Everybody has got a smartphone.
Exactly.
And access to internet as well. And with YouTube and social media being free, you're able to still live stream and still get a lot of attention from that. But we'll see how all of this plays out, and, you know, how the trust of Nigerians in the judiciary would be handled or improved on. Because right now, a lot of Nigerians, a handful, have stated that they don't trust the process that's ongoing right now, and it needs to be free and fair. What that means?
Yeah, I was asking the same question on Friday when you said the judiciary should do the right thing, and I was asking people, what does it even mean? Because I'm sure if you ask 12 people, you're going to get 12 different interpretations of what constitutes the right thing at the end of the day. So it would really be great to just, you know, follow some aspect of the process. But if the court in its wisdom says, you know, this does not add to it, and we don't think it does us any favor in trying to project us to look good or help the entire process, I will give them that benefit of doubt and move on with the case. Let's move on and see how we get closure to this particular one.
Yes.
All right, we'll go on a quick break and be back with more. All right, I think we still have 2 minutes. Let's see who we have with messages before we get to the next story. Hajara Ibrahim is on YouTube with us. Oludade Abiodun. Good afternoon, my lovely people. I know the suit will not see the light of day because live telecast cannot change anything, is what Oludade Abiodun is saying.
All right, and Tokwe says, hello, Itodo and Kim. Habib says, it's a serious problem that we are facing since the history of Nigeria. Every government that comes will... okay. This administration really shocked me. A whole precedent. May God save us all. All right. Welcome, Kim, the Ochanya One. All right, Charles. And Oputa Panel was a masterclass in all ramifications, achieved the purposes it was established for, because it was aired live throughout the duration. At the end of the day, every Dick and Harry felt satisfied. Opposing this is a threat to democracy. Chidozie Eze in Lube. And Najim says, Kim, I'm not sure you read out this last week when you had Dr. Majid. The courtroom is a place for emotions and sentiments. There are ways and guidelines to carry out its proceedings. Lawyers before petitions must stick to what took them to the court, not play into the gallery of the public sentiment. All right. Let's go on a break right now.
Your attention, please.
The news, information, and the right conversation are here on Nigeria Info.
How many this type of wicked attack has affected in the other part of this country? So that what this is our say.
I'm not supporting stealing, but these politicians need to be taught a lesson.
Your number one station for talk, Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
so quiet today.
Sorry, ladies. I'm taking this interesting course on how to become a professional scriptwriter. You two can also learn how to become a radio presenter on Wazobia Academy.
Wazobia Academy?
Yes. Wazobia Academy provides accessible and affordable online training in filmmaking, music business, fashion, radio hosting, and lots more. You also stand a chance to be selected for internship in leading production companies, radio stations, music, and fashion studios for hands-on experience. It's easy. Simply log on to www.wazobiaacademy.com or call 0908-826-5038 for more details.
Wazobia Academy. Learn and lead.
Politics with security.
Let's talk about the biggest conversations.
Made of trustworthy ideas.
Passionately connected
to everyone.
Let's talk.
Let's talk on the Nigeria Info 95.1 Abuja. Abuja.
This is Hard Facts.
This is Hard Facts. All right, thank you so much for staying with us. We'll continue with the round table, looking at some of the big stories driving conversation in the country, and we did talk about the case in court where the judiciary is saying, the judges are saying, well, they are opposed to that. Also, just before we leave that arena, Bola Tinubu, Nigeria's president-elect, has opposed the move to harmonize three pending petitions challenging his victory at the tribunal. Tinubu, the standard bearer of the APC, was declared the February 25th presidential polls winner with a little over 8 million. And aggrieved by the outcome, PDP, APC are challenging Tinubu's victory. The Allied People's Movement is also challenging Tinubu's election as APM. The President's Election Petition Court has raised the issue of consolidating all the petitions and asked parties to address it. And at the resumed hearing today, Tinubu, through his team of lawyers led by Akin Olujimi, stated that merging all the petitions would adversely affect his ability to effectively defend all the issues raised against him by the petitioner, and that the issue of justice should be a restraint on the power of the court to exercise its discretion in granting the order of consolidation, Olujimi said. My lord, when the exercise of power is subjected to limitation of some condition, then it cannot be said that exercise is mandatory. Plenty, plenty grammar. In summary, I most humbly urge your lordship not to grant the consolidation, to bring hardship on how they will defend the case. So I guess it will be happening, you know, simultaneously
yes.
with each of the cases as we go then, instead of merging it. But then there are different issues and different approach from each of the parties. You know, the approach that Atiku's team is employing is slightly different from that which Obi's team, the Liberal Party, is bringing in also. So it'd be nice to see at what point it will all converge.
And the council has constantly warned that it doesn't want any delay in terms of technicalities. Everyone should present whatever they want to present and do it in good time, no delays whatsoever. It just gives that idea that they want to be over and done with it, with this, so everyone can move on and focus on other things that are really important to the growth of the country.
We know also that there's a time frame that you have to work with, and some of the parties are saying, okay, we need to present 50 witnesses, and I say we have 100 witnesses, we need this amount of time. It's going to be rich, the fillers coming out from there. We trust that with or without camera, that the media and others authorized to bring information out of there would give us
the precise information
that is required, so that there will be no room for people to start to think something went sideways at one point in time.
But would you say it would be a good idea to maybe have a law that mandates the courts to live broadcast some of these proceedings to ensure that everyone follows?
Well, I don't know about laws. Yeah, legislation would help, but how do you even argue? But yeah, it would be easier to argue that we should have a freer process and have less input from the judiciary than to compel the judiciary to say, oh yeah, any election petition tribunal must be transparent. It's to be putting more responsibility on them, when I think the umpire, the political parties, are the ones who should bear the brunt of the responsibility or the weight, carry the weight of it, to ensure that from their party structure they do what is right, that the umpire themselves ensure that they give us free and credible process, then the judiciary should play the most secondary of all roles in all of this.
Mm.
So if we start to come up with legislation compelling them, is to say we have no faith that our umpire is going to give us a credible free process enough, or that the political parties are going to behave and want to ensure that, you know, within their ranks they do what is right with this party. We're saying that it is impossible to fix that. They are the only ones who can help us out.
No, but I mean, we should also be able to do like virtual proceedings where someone is in a different state or different location, and
right,
you can still okay, be a part of the process, and the case still goes on whether or not you were present.
There.
Yeah.
All right, that's the future. Use of technology.
Mm.
It would work. They're already doing in some part of the world. It's not as if maybe election related, but yeah, it's doable.
Okay.
All right, talking about doable, Dangote Refinery, where is the sheke?
Right there.
We've been waiting for this moment, this day, and eventually it is officially, is it?
It's live.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's what we're saying.
Finally.
A lot of details coming out of there.
Yeah.
I hear world leaders are there, government officials are grinning mula to mula. Oh, Dangote Refinery. You know, it's weird because our refineries are comatose at this point in time, but everybody's wearing a white make. Government officials particularly, or governors who are there, are the ones I have issues with. Every other person, you're fine, and Dangote, good, go ahead. But, you know, in a country where you are incapable of making your own government-run refineries functional, it's just unacceptable. Mm. Actually, that they would be having a white smile, like I've seen.
He's been at this for about 2 decades, according to him. And when he wanted to quit,
he deserves to smile. He's done something great.
He mentioned that Buhari was one of the people who pushed him on and encouraged him to keep things going. But as the Dangote Refinery begins operations on Monday, today, the 650,000 barrels per day oil processing facility has been designed to process crude oil grades from three continents in Africa, Asia, and America. It was also gathered that the refinery will deliver a surplus of about 38 million liters of petrol, diesel, kerosene, and aviation fuel for Nigeria daily. Hence, it will meet the 100% fuel supply requirement of the country. Now, data in a document obtained from the company showed that Dangote Refinery would support the establishment of 26,716 filling stations, create 100,000 direct and indirect jobs, and provide a $21 billion market for Nigerian crude oil annually. Now, a presidential aide, Bashiru Ahmed, had tweeted that the inauguration will be done. It's been done, of course, by the President Buhari, and efforts by the federal government to make Nigeria self-sufficient in local refining of crude oil to save the scarce foreign exchange used in the importation of petroleum products have received a boost as the 650,000 per day Dangote Refinery, the world's largest single train refinery, has been inaugurated today, May 22nd, 2023. Now, stakeholders are asking, why did the government not also putting this same effort into revamping or even building new refineries in Nigeria in the past 8 years? We got that promise during the campaign.
Yeah, I mean, because if you're looking at it actively, it's a decade he put in effort into it, and we had almost a decade of, at least, let's set an example with this administration, their inability to even get it functional is mind-boggling at this point in time. The president, I'm sure he would love the credit of saying he inaugurated this one, but if we're looking at that sector, it's really disappointing that aside from the PTF Petroleum Trust Fund, which was chairman at one point, being the Minister of Petroleum for the 8 years he was in power, and then up to this point in time, I don't think it adds anything to him that he is the one in government when this was inaugurated, because he failed to deliver on a functional refinery for us. I know, yes, some will say modular refineries. There were modular refineries even approved from the last administration. We didn't see them start at any point in time. Talking about monies that's been put into Port Harcourt refinery, is it refining just yet? Until it does, nobody's going to count chicken until they hatch at this point in time. But yeah, congratulations to Dangote and the other African leaders who were there. I heard about five of them. The Paul Kagame, Kagame of Rwanda was there, the president of Togo was there, Ghanaian president was there, Senegalese president was there, Niger Republic and Chad Republic were also there as the president inaugurated the facility in Lagos today. And he secured about $3.3 billion in financing the project eventually. He tried twice. The first was in October 2019 when the top official said the project would be ready by 2021. And the second was in January when Dangote said the refinery will begin processing crude by the third quarter of 2022. It didn't happen. So now they're saying by July, at least we're sure it will start, and they have the capacity to process 650,000 barrels of crude oil, which enable our country to achieve self-sufficiency in refined products and even have some surplus for export at the end of the day. It's a milestone, he's saying, for our economy, game changer for the downstream petroleum product market, not only in Nigeria, but the entire African continent. And according to the president, the consequences of this challenges constitute a severe strain on economy. Okay, I was talking about something else, but
I think a major concern right now will be the jobs it's going to be creating and the development it will bring to that part.
Even jobs
of the
before it started. Building it, so kept the place vibrant.
Yes, so permanent jobs right now coming through as well, and we also hear that 12,000 megawatts of electricity will be generated by the refinery, and a lot of people are looking forward to what change it would bring to the oil and gas sector in Nigeria, and the fact that we might stop importing refined products. And the Pohokas refinery, which we're also looking forward to as well, has been pushed over and over again. Right now we hear it's sometime in the fourth quarter. We're hoping that that will be the charm wherein we have both to combine and ensure that we're able to deal with the issues that we currently face in terms of refining crude in Nigeria. But it's something to be happy about with this, even though it's a personal business, a private business.
But would this
motivate the government to go out there and maybe build new refineries or revamp what we have going?
We would have to see the body language of the next administration. If it's for this government, the highest motivation they got was the inauguration of this when it comes to petroleum. I honestly believe that the president did not deliver in that sector. Very little change under his watch when expectations were really high. However, we have a new government coming in, and it'll be interesting to see what direction he heads, what new ideas they would have, because it will really be a shame to say, all right, we have one private Dangote refinery, and trusting Dangote and how they've been very functional, they would run this thing excellently. It is going to be so efficient that it will be a struggle. We will not be contending. It will be competition to see how we can have our national refineries even functional compared to this at the end of the day. You say, yes, we'll have more capacity collectively.
Mm.
But there's something about when you have certain level of excellence in operation to the one which is government and anyhowness reflecting it. You're going to find this one being a lot more functional, such that the competition will be, how do we get this one up and floating compared to the efficiency of what we're going to get from Dangote refinery.
Yeah, hopefully this is all the motivation the government needs.
The motivation perhaps will get to the point of either privatizing that, the asset that we have. It's not if this is going to give us all one, because we're looking at the future. And it's a good thing that he mentioned the African continental free trade zone. You're going to look at all your comparative advantage. We have oil here. It would be nice to refine, export to other African countries who don't have. It's so embarrassing, actually, that we have crude and we're still importing, and then we're having conversation with, oh, should we subsidize, shouldn't we subsidize? I feel it's so lazy. We've been so lazy to dealing with some of the real issues in this country. And by lazy, I mean the government here. I'm excusing the people from all of this. The people who have been saddled with the responsibility. When you have a social contract, you say, do you take care of some of these things? They should be the one to be able to see how they can bring life to it. So,
well, this refinery would save Nigeria $25 billion and $30 billion forex annually, and give the economy an inflow of $10 billion yearly. We also, Emefiele also stated, that's CBN governor, stated that Dangote has started repaying the loan that he took, and he has gone as far as 70%.
He has repaid 70%?
That's what the reports are saying, so
Dangote has repaid 70%.
That's what he said.
Put the breakdown of the report.
I'll get to it shortly. Let me get the breakdown and get to it. Just give me a second. But that's worthy to know that he's also making the effort to repay whatever loans he's taking and ensure that everybody across board is...
Yeah, repaid 70% and it's not even refining jobs yet.
He's got other businesses going
on. No, I agree, but even as a businessman, we know you don't just remove money from your cement and your flour and your spaghetti and then throw it into refining. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
There are different companies, even though we're dealing with a conglomerate here, but I don't think it's just easy to say, yeah, bring down and let's throw it in here.
But this is repaying, and that's what's important right now. All right, you can join live on Facebook and YouTube right now at Nigeria Info ABJ. Nigeria Info Abuja, that's the handle. Ensure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel and catch all the shows that have been streamed before now.
And winner Ethelbert, that's his name, says, Auntie Kim, we've not been waiting anything for the refinery because nothing will change. However, isn't God wonderful? How Obi and Atiku who detest each other and the former party working, they don't detest each other. At no point did they say they detested each other. Just you assuming things and imagining things. They just politically had their difference. Obi wanted to be president. He saw the opportunity when he felt they were going to deny him the opportunity within the party and went somewhere else.
Yeah. All right, so this report real quick. Dangote pays back 70% of loan used in constructing refineries, says Emefiele. And he disclosed this during the ceremonies of commission, the refinery also present.
How much did he borrow? Was he there?
That's not exact. Okay, so we see Dangote has paid down its total loans outstanding on this refinery project from $9 billion to $2.7 billion today. Yeah. So it's a reflection of the creditworthiness of the Dangote Group.
Let's give you a shot again for that.
You're impressed, eh?
I am impressed.
Well, so there you have it.
Yeah. Even though aside from the loan, you got a lot of grants and support, but it's quite impressive also. All right, then let's hear your take. We have one more story to look at. Well, call us up on 0700-951-0000 or 0809-5974-869. You can call our WhatsApp number on 0809-9930-137. We're on YouTube and Facebook at Nigeria Info ABJ. Our WhatsApp number is still pretty active for messages, 0809-9930-137.
Welcome to you. Yes.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Mr. the intelligent man, I greet you and the greater China one of Nigerian Info.
You're welcome.
How are you today? My name is Chimezie.
Welcome, Chimezie.
I made reference to put a panel which was 8 lines throughout the duration. Earlier today. That Buddha panel was a master class. At the end of the day, everybody left. Everybody was happy. We would have preferred letting everything life for everybody to see. So that at the end of the day, nobody will grumble. That's my take.
All right, Chimezie.
All right. Thank you very much, Chimezie.
Welcome to you.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Kim and Isidro.
You're welcome.
Yeah, my name is Aki.
Welcome,
Dangote Refinery. I think we have something to celebrate about the country. The largest single trade refinery anywhere in the world. It's happening here in Africa and now just as in Nigeria. Congratulations to Dangote Group. They are doing well. You see, some businessmen in Nigeria will tell you when you approach bank, they will not give you loan. Most times it's not true. When you take facilities from the bank, you have your book and they are correct and you are paying regularly. In fact, it's the bank that will be fighting you and be taking you to come and take facility. That's how some of this will work. And thank God for Dangote Group. That group will uplift the owner. So what we have discovered in the recent times is that most of African businesses don't uplift their owner. Look at Abdullah Empire today. What are you talking about then?
You know, we're talking about it some days back, Mr. King, wondering about Abdullah. Wondering about there's other big brand, how they just went down.
I'm trying to say why Nigerian business does not provide Jonah. I said Dangote have his culture and his culture is working. That's how you see it's moving from one group to another. And in any case, we equally mentioned the fact that the money for Indomie may not be more than $1. Doesn't matter if the other Gogo
refineries are doing extremely well. And they have to retain any that refinery can capitalize on as a ship fund. There's nothing wrong with that in business plan. So we can divert money, excess money from vendor, other corporate to fund refinery. If those funds are available, retain any that are very cheap, then go to bank to borrow. That's what I want to do as well. Nigerian business to sit up, there are opportunity in Nigeria, there are potential. Let's be part of the country and let's believe so much in Nigeria. Dangote has believed so much in Nigeria and he's doing well. Good afternoon. God bless Nigeria.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Welcome to you.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm calling from Jadu.
Welcome, Mazza.
Yeah. The issue of the live telecast matter. The tribunal. I'm quite happy that the law justices have thrown out the petition. Because as far as I'm concerned, it was a frivolous request. The court is a place that should be respected. A place for dignity, not a theater for all sorts. I'm quite impressed by the ruling of the court. Thank you.
All right.
Okay, let's hear more people.
Good afternoon. Welcome to you. We can barely hear you.
Ibinali, you have to call us back. The connection is really poor.
We can barely hear you. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Chimani Duku.
Itodo.
Madu Cosmos calling. Yeah. Madu Cosmos calling from Gwaripa.
Welcome, Madu.
Yeah, congratulations, no doubt, to Mr. Aliko Dangote and for the judges to be fair, they are okay, not approving the live streaming of the court activities and the like, you know, considering the fact that if they would go into it to be the first time and maybe they don't have any provision for something like this, and it may even hamper, you know, the hearing and everything, because it would be like more, you know, more duty for them, considering they've even said they don't want to delay the process, they just want to tackle everything, they don't even want issues of technicality. So we are believing them and we are trusting them and hoping that they are going to do as they've promised and said. Then on Dangote and his refinery, like I said, congratulations to him. And I also, if other people want to venture into stuff like this, they are being given the level of backing Dangote got, because this is not a small project at all, and he was supported fully by the federal government and, you know, the likes. So if other citizens also want to venture into stuff like this, the government should also be bold enough to give them the backing, the request they require, you know, to carry out stuff like this. So good luck to Dangote, and hopefully this brings to an end all this our fuel scarcity and other stuff, and we hope the price reduces, because if you want to judge by the cement, you know, virtually almost everything we use in manufacturing cement, we get them from Nigeria here, yet the prices are still very high. So we just hope that the case of this refinery will not be like that cement, honestly. So good luck to him and congratulations. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Well, the press, the Dangote actually had a lot of people to appreciate. And let's listen a bit to this clip.
To show my personal gratitude and that of also the Dangote group for all the assistance that we got from the president, from the federal government, of Nigeria, from even the president-elect, because he also set the face by creating the Lekki Free Trade Zone as part of his dream. And also we want to thank most especially the Governor Fashola Governor Ambode, because it was also during their period that we started, and most especially Governor Sanwo-Olu, because they have given us all the assistance that we're looking for. We thank all Nigerians for giving us the support, which they are too numerous to mention.
All right. It's grateful to you also, just so you know. And we got a lot of support from the state where it's established with the Lekki Free Trade Zone, which is something that, I mean, we're talking the other day. I think we had a guest. Was it Kolawole Johnson also was talking about it was meant to be in a different state? And yes, it was hard to like...
Mm. Welcome them with the offering.
Come over with a better offer. One state is saying you have to pay us this commission. Another state is saying we're going to give you all kinds of incentive to put situated here because of the long term vision they had on what that refinery was capable of generating in terms of jobs and boosting the economy of the state. So it's a good thing that we're seeing it come to life at this point in time.
But just hoping that with the refinery in the location that it is right now, there's a bit of development brought to that location, the people who live there, and not promises being made and nothing comes out of it in the
Somebody
end.
Somebody was asking, the road to that area, I know they did the massive construction of road, a good part of it, but people who are coming into Nigeria, apart from the other part of the world.
Were they impressed?
No, I hope they everywhere down to where they're headed.
Oh.
Looks the part, you know. So but yeah, it did a lot of work in the area, I must admit. All right, let's look at the third story and take more thought from you. The International Monetary Fund says 98.5% of e-Naira wallets have not been used, not even once. So people who have, you have the wallet, right?
Yes, I do have the wallet.
You have used it. So you constitute 98.5.
At least I have the wallet.
At least I do not have.
It should count
for
something.
I did not occupy space anywhere pretending I have the wallet. 98.5% of e-wallets have not been used, not even once.
Mm. Sad.
In its recent release, working paper titled Nigeria's e-money 1 year after, the Bretton Woods institution took stock of the first year of the e-Naira, the first central bank digital currency in Africa. The president formally launched the digital currency at the State House in Abuja on the 25th of October, 2021. IMF said despite the laudable undisrupted operation for the first full year, the CBDC project has not yet moved beyond the initial wave of limited adoption. The fund said the take-up of the e-Naira by household and merchants have been very slow. IMF described the public adoption of the e-Naira as disappointingly low due to the levels of wallet downloads and transactions. The fund said as of end of November 2021, the total number of retail e-Naira wallets amounted to about 860,000, a figure equivalent to about 8.8% of the Nigerian active bank accounts. And then the retail wallet download saw a few weeks of initial surge before tapering off. More especially, it only took 25 days for the number of downloaded wallets to reach 500 units. But going from there to 600 took another 63 days. And to get to 700, it took 143 days. As of the in summary, you people are not using it, you are not downloading, and the people who even have it have not used it even once.
The acceptance is really low.
Painfully
low. But you ask, what are the perks of using it?
Exactly.
That's the thing, because you would imagine that during the cash coin situation, this is something that would have fallen back on, that there'd been more encouragement. Or maybe a deadline to downloading. You know, we love deadlines a lot.
No, download it. What's their business? Close your deadline. What way does it affect me? They're already complaining to how people are rushing to get POS in terms of point of sales, POS, terminal. Mm. And you're seeing more headed in that direction to e-Naira. I would say a lot of awareness is not properly created. There was a lot of buzz. It was like a flash in the pan at the end of the day. There was no consistency in the kind of message, reminder that you can actually use this to actually promote it on that front.
Yeah, what makes it different from your regular
people? Madam, that doesn't go to work on Monday in the East. What is e-Naira about? No clue.
Well, like money online.
Do you have a wallet?
I have it, but don't use it.
You see, 98.5%. You also, do you have it?
No.
It's okay.
All right, let's go on a break right now. We'll be right back.
In the comfort of your home, on your way to work, in the midst of your daily activities. Your Let's Talk station is here to keep you informed. only on your number one for talk, 95.1 Nigeria.